is it repetitive? That's really the key. Like, is it something that you do all the time and you do it the same way all the time? And could somebody who's like 8 or 16 also do it if they were given good instructions? So that's how you're going to determine what is the most important thing to automate first. So you spend a lot of time doing it, and it's also repetitive.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, it could be Facebook ads, and we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we're not diving into a marketing method, obviously. Instead, we are spending 5 episodes exploring a brand new topic, which is all about AI use cases that actually work in e-commerce. Get rid of the hype. What AI is actually delivering useful results for businesses like yours? For the first 2 episodes, we were very task and tech specific. We looked at AI chatbots and negotiation, and we looked at product descriptions and generative AI. But this time, we're going kind of more fundamental and a lot wider, and we are talking about productivity. How do you improve your productivity? How do you use AI, and let's face it, automation, because it's not important whether it's AI or not, to improve the efficiency of your team, to reduce overwhelm, to improve profits, to become more efficient, to free up time. How do you go about doing that? And we've got a brilliant expert who's going to be taking us through that. And towards the end of the episode, she will also be revealing a couple of the tools she uses to make herself more efficient. So tools towards the end, good practical advice towards the beginning. So make sure you listen right the way through the whole episode and stay tuned to the end. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. In this episode, I'm chatting with AI and automation expert Jamila Jan. Jamila is a fount of knowledge when it comes to optimizing e-commerce and marketing workloads, a self-confessed productivity nerd. She's run her own e-commerce store, been the marketing and partnership manager at Fera, where she spent her time helping over 35,000 brands to manage their reviews across all their review platforms. And now she's building her own business and helping others to embrace AI marketing automation. Hello, Jamila.
Hey, Chloe. Thanks so much for having me. I always love talking to you.
I love talking to you too, especially when, I mean, to be fair, I'm kind of a lapsed productivity nerd, I would say at the moment. I'm not as good as I should be, but hopefully by the time we get partway into next year, I will be up to speed and be able to call myself that again. So to get to chat with you and geek out about productivity, I mean, what's not to love?
Exactly. You know, I feel like the new year is going to be your year. 2025 is for you.
Let's bring it on. I'm up for that. Okay. So how did you end up with this, not new specialism, but this frontline specialism of really focusing in on how we automate, how we use AI successfully in e-commerce stores? How did that pivot come to pass? How did you get into this?
Yeah. So I've worked with a lot of e-commerce businesses and a lot of brick and mortar businesses, also in different industries. And what I found is that the biggest problem people have is that they know what to do and they're smart people, but they just don't know how to execute. They're very unproductive. And I'm in Canada and we've had a productivity problem for a very, very long time. Like ever since I was in school, they've been like, Canada's so unproductive. We're falling behind the OECD nations. And AI and automation is a way to improve productivity without having to give people any additional work to do. It's just that they don't understand where to start. So that's why it kind of became something that I focus on, because I want people to be more productive. I want them to have more time for themselves. I want them to make more money. I want people to pay more taxes. So I'm like, let me see how I can help fix this problem. That's kind of how I got into it. It's a passion, I guess you could say. It's a lifestyle.
Clearly a passion. And yet it's so easy to kind of fake productivity improvements. Go, yeah, look, I automated all of this. And it's like, it's something you do once a year. You know what?
Exactly. I think that's also the problem. It's like, so I do walk people through and I'm like, okay, well, what's taking up the most of your time, right? Like, I usually tell people to do a time audit first, because you can't just automate something because you think it's cooler, because you saw an ad or somebody was like, oh, automate like your follow up with your customers. It's like, well, do you even spend a lot of time following up with your customers? Maybe there's a system that you don't even have in place that you don't need automation for. So a lot of times people need the strategy, or they need to have already been doing the thing before they automate it. So, I mean, even something like, oh, automate all your product descriptions. It's like, well, you're a 5-product store. Like, do you need to download like that app? You know what I mean? So I usually tell people to do a time audit and see where they're spending the most of their time. And if it's a once a year thing, obviously it's not worth automating. Although it could be, if it's like, it takes you like 10 hours at the end of every year and it stresses you out, it could be worth automating. But again, these are case by case basis things.
I so want to get into all of that. I've just written down about 8 questions. Before I do get into all of that, and don't worry, everybody, we will get in there. This is part of our AI series. And you and I were laughing before we hit record about how AI is not necessarily necessary for automations. So do we even need to differentiate between whether we're automating it or whether we're installing AI? How do you see those two things coming together?
So I feel like as we go further into this like journey of AI and automation, we might not have to differentiate, but I do think that end users need to understand what the difference between AI and automation is, because I think especially in marketing, people will be like, oh, it's AI powered, or it's this or it's that. And it's like, well, it's like, it's not actually making any decisions. It's not using any data to create like a path or to decide what to do next. You're literally just saying if then statements, right? So like, an if then statement is more of an automation. You say, when this happens, then this happens, and you kind of have to manually get into it. Whereas AI, you can think of AI like the generative AI. It will take a question that you have and it'll gather data, or it will learn from data to create or to do a prediction, right? So I think as we progress, and it might not make a difference, but now I think people need to know like, oh, this actually isn't AI. Like AI can't solve your problem here. It's not intelligent enough to solve your problem, or it hasn't been trained on enough data to solve your problem. So I think that that's something that we do need to continue to talk about the difference, because even in some things, it's like you can say, when an order goes out, send this email. That's an automation. But you can say, when this order goes out, send an email and create a unique text around the person and their past orders. That's where AI would kind of come into play. So yes, I would say that's the difference, and people do need to know it. I hope that answered the question.
No, I like the answer. I like the example as well. And I'm sure there's at least one person listening who's going, I'm going to have to play this to the boss. Because if he tells me we need more AI once more, when what he really means is an automated email, I'm going to kill him.
Yes. It's like, it doesn't have to be that deep. You don't need to have AI for everything. Although it is very useful, but you don't need it for everything. So yeah, just knowing the difference is important.
But it is kind of cool how it's opened people's eyes to, can I automate that?
Yeah.
You know, that I think is very cool, as we're now actually starting to think about our own productivity, and whether that involves us using an AI tool or not using an AI tool, it's all good things to be thinking about, isn't it?
I agree. I think so. I think that the other reason that I've been able to help people like automate and use AI is because people understand it a little bit more. They are open to it. They are open to like, oh yeah, I did hear that I can save 5 hours a week doing this, or I can do this. Even like, I'm part of this business club, and it's a lot of like middle-aged, like energy people, like oil and gas people. And even they're like open to these conversations now. Like they're open to having these conversations, and they're like, oh yeah, I do know that that's useful. Oh yeah, I have heard about that. So I think people are willing to automate. They're open to automation, and it's nice.
And you've already said that where we should start is with a time audit.
Yeah.
Any tools you'd recommend for doing that? Is it, you know, a piece of paper and a pen? Are there a particular apps you like for time auditing?
For the time audit, I recommend that people play to their strengths and what works in their lifestyle. So for example, if you're out and about all the time, you can probably just use your notes app. So whenever you start a new task, or maybe you're commuting somewhere, or you know, you're in the office, you just write a little note in your notes app. If you're chronically online, I personally use Sensama. So that is like a calendar app, and like it helps to prioritize different tasks. So I'll just hit play when I start a task, and I'll pause when I stop. Also, there's Toggle, which I'm pretty sure is free. And yeah, I just recommend like going through your day. Typically I tell people to like go through a week and just write down kind of what they're doing. So even paper and pen works, just depending on your lifestyle and what you're doing. If you're moving around, whatever feels best for you, but you have to kind of really think about like, what tasks am I spending time on? And you have to write it down, because if you don't write it down, then a lot of times people forget.
Yeah. And ever since I started my marketing agency, I've been a little bit addicted to time tracking. And even now, so this is what, over a decade on, I still look at my time reports and go, what, really? What was I doing? You know, there's such a disconnect between what we think we're spending time on and what we're actually spending time on so often, isn't there?
100%.
And then you were saying earlier, Jamila, about how, you know, once we've done that time audit, we can see where we're spending the most time. But I think there's also an element of where we should be spending good quality time. Like if someone looked at my time audit, some weeks I might have spent 7 or 8 hours recording podcasts. And yes, we could quite easily script that and create a clone of my voice to do the podcast. But I think that would be a bad automation. That would be a bad issue. So you've kind of got to think about where the value is in your time as well, not just the minutes.
Exactly. I feel like with the things that are very customer facing, the things that are very human oriented, where it's like a relationship with somebody, those are probably some of the last things that you want to automate. I don't even think you should automate them. But again, if you're like a one or two person team, let's say it's like the co-founder and the marketer and like maybe one other person, yeah, maybe sometimes you do have to automate those things. But you really have to understand what your customer or what your company values are, right? Like if you value customer service, if you value that one-on-one human connection, then you're probably going to want to automate like inventory management or something like that instead of like your customer service first. And then of course I want to preface that by being like, there are some things like, where's my order, that obviously need to be automated. but you want to think like, what's the impact that I'm having, and what do I even like to do? Because I personally feel like AI and automation should serve humanity. And I think it should get rid of the boring, mundane, repetitive tasks. So you have to think like, what are the boring tasks that you're doing? I assume that you like doing these podcasts. Otherwise, you wouldn't do them.
Well, yeah, exactly. And like there's things which, if you just looked at it from a ones and zeros perspective, you know, from a dry perspective, there's things I definitely shouldn't do, like booking my own train tickets and various bits of my calendar planning, but I enjoy them. So I'm a geek. I'm a bit, you know, so I will carry on doing those myself because actually I, as awful as it sounds, I quite enjoy doing those things. So I'll carry on doing them. But how do we then go about actually working out the best way to automate something when we found something that we're spending too much time on? How do we approach finding the right way to sort it out?
Is it repetitive, right? That's really the key. Like, is it something that you do all the time and you do it the same way all the time? And could somebody who's like 8 or 16 also do it if they were given good instructions? So that's how you're going to determine what is the most important thing to automate first. So you spend a lot of time doing it, and it's also repetitive. If it's something that's a little bit more complex, you're probably not going to be able to use AI or to automate it. So that's what you have to determine. Like, is it rote? Can I teach a child to do it? If you can teach a child to do it, you can probably get AI to do it. Even if it is something that's very complex, like if it's a very complex 4-hour task, you can break those tasks down into smaller repetitive steps. So for example, let's say you're creating, let's say you're even just creating like social media posts or something for your products. It might be a little bit complex in the fact that, you know, you have to think about your messaging, you have to think about what the kind of feelings you want to evoke, the kind of pain points your customer has for these social media posts. But what you can do is you can break that down and say, like, I know that I spend like an hour out of the four, like creating captions or like thinking about captions or like, or that kind of thing, or editing these photos. So then those are the kinds of like mundane repetitive things that you can automate within that process. So even though it is like a complex task, you just have to think like what's repetitive. And the most repetitive things that take the most time are the things that go to the top of the list to use AI and automation for.
And what's our aim with this? Is it purely time saving? Is it profit, or is it something else?
Right. So I've worked with like companies that are like one person to like larger companies. And for the smaller teams, it's mostly reducing overwhelm. It's taking back their time. It's being able to do more with less. And then for the larger companies, it definitely is like, it's like, how can I reduce hours? How can I reduce headcount? I don't usually work with like, as soon as somebody's like, I want to reduce headcount, I'm like, you're not the customer for me. But like with the larger companies, it definitely is like, how can we maximize the value and reduce the cost, right? And that's more of a technical analysis on their end. They're more like, okay, if I spend like $3,000 or whatever automating this, how many man hours can I save? Whereas for the smaller teams, like the smaller marketers, it's very much like, I need to be able to go to bed before 9:30 or before like 11:30 or something like that. And they're just looking to win their time back. They're looking to have a lot more sanity. It's what I find.
It reminds me of a post I saw on LinkedIn a couple of days ago where someone was promoting hustle life, which I always think is a bad thing in the first place. But this person had put up a post saying, having that Sunday entrepreneurial win, sometimes you'd on a Sunday. And my first thought watching it was, you are doing things that don't matter if you're having to work on a Sunday. Because if you reach that point of overwhelm, it's like, well, either there's not the P&L in the business for you to be able to outsource this task to somebody else, so you're not making enough money, or you're doing busy work and things that don't need doing in order to feel like you're important or productive or something else. So I was like, there's a bigger issue at play here. So you find that whole kind of overwhelm thing is the one which you find businesses are most looking to solve?
Yeah, for sure. They're like, I know I need to do these things and I know it's going to help me scale my business and I know it's going to help me connect with my customers, but I just simply don't have the time and I don't know where to start and I'm overwhelmed. That's like a lot. Like, that's a lot of what I hear. A customer that I'm working with right now, she's got a Shopify store and also a brick and mortar store. And she is busy. Like, she has staff, right? But like, there are so many things that need to get done. And at a certain point, it's like, it becomes paralyzing, all the things that you need to do. And things get left behind. And sometimes customer contact online gets left behind. So yeah, it's very much so the overwhelm part.
Cool. So Jamila, anything that we haven't mentioned that we should have mentioned for someone who's looking to do more automation in their business in 2025?
No, I think identifying, like really doing that time audit, identifying your problem, understanding what your priorities are when it comes to your customers, especially in e-commerce, like you really have to be customer and community centric. Look at the things that can free up your time so that you can connect with your customer and connect with your community. And I think that's honestly the most important thing in e-commerce. For some other industries, it might not, it's just like straight up about efficiency. But in e-commerce, it should be about how can you streamline so that you can create a better community and create a better connection with your customer, because customer acquisition is not cheap and people are bored of all the things that they see online. So you really have to build that deeper relationship and that deeper connection. And I think automation can, and AI can help with that.
I love that. Thank you, Jamila. It's been great picking your brains about all of this automation and productivity. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Jamila's insider tips and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses.
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo. That's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.
Okay, Jamila, so far we've gone deep into how to use AI and automation to become more efficient. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of AI use cases that actually work in e-commerce or even beyond that. So for the following questions, your answer can be to do with anything in the world of AI and e-commerce, which of course includes everything we've already been talking about. Jamila, are you ready?
I am ready.
Excellent. Let's start with the newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
What they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success is to start small and to be very focused. They should really think about where AI can have an immediate impact. So a really good example is like just chatbots. Those are super easy. There are a bunch of apps that can help you really streamline your customer interactions, or recommending like kind of personalized product recommendations. So you should use very user-friendly, very low-code apps that will help you solve a very, very quick problem. And once you start to see quick wins and understand how AI and automation can benefit your business, then you can kind of build a little bit more confidence to explore. There are like so many free things, especially like Shopify Flow. I would say that we can talk about that also in the free tips, but those are really great places to start.
Oh yeah, Shopify Flow, not used by enough people. So
thank you.
Yeah, if you don't mention it, I'm going to make you mention it when we get to that bit. Now, once you started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yes. So once you've like picked a couple of things that you want to automate or that you've implemented, you should always have like a baseline. You should say like, this is what I started with. This is how customers were feeling. These were my sales. And then you should always be thinking like, have I improved my sales from this? You have to obviously start with like a goal, right? You're like, okay, I use this to save time. Then in 3 months, be like, how much time have I saved? Do your time audit again. And you can say, since I've implemented this AI, this automation, I've saved like 3 hours a week. And then you can start to adjust or like refine the tools that you use. Again, it's like you start small and then you start tackling, you have your KPIs or your OKRs or whatever you want to call it, whatever your buzzword is. And then you say, have I hit this goal? Yes. How can I make it better? Or have I hit this goal? No. What happened? So kind of A/B testing that, but always starting with a baseline, always starting even in like a little Google Doc being like, this is where I started. And then 3 months later, checking to see where you are.
I love that, especially the starting small bit, because so often people go, I'm going to automate everything.
No, you can't do that. You can't. You have to refrain from wanting to automate everything. It will also lead to overwhelm and you'll be like, this is so stupid. Nothing works. And you're not going to be any better off than when you started.
So true. Right. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yes. So I have a very free download on my website, jamilajen.com, which is an automation readiness checklist. So it kind of walks you through what kinds of things you should do, what's repetitive, what's not repetitive. It gives you like a calculation as to how much time you could save versus how much it's going to cost you, that kind of thing. So that's free. That's on my website. And then the other thing is Shopify Flow. So I know a lot of your people are on Shopify. I love Shopify Flow. They have so many templates. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to like implement a very simple automation or integrate AI with if you're using Shopify Flow. Like it's so easy. I also personally love Make.com. Make.com is free. You can pay for a few more operations. I use Make.com for a bunch of things. Like I've made follow-up reminders for when I take pictures for business cards at networking events. I've created like a whole content creation workflow. Like there's just, and it's free. It's free. So like there's so many free things that are out there that there's no excuse for you not to use. It just takes like a little bit of time, but use the checklist and then you can decide how much time is actually worth putting into creating the automation.
Love that. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So I think in the next 6 to 12 months, we're probably going to see, I have a couple of things. I think we're going to see a divergence. We're going to see people who continue to use AI and implement them into their workflow. And I think we're going to see people who are just going to go back to like old school, like whatever, I don't even care. They're not going to embrace it into their workflow. And I think that we're also going to see a lot more of these AI tools, these large language models become a lot more expensive. And they're going to be moving towards either like an ad base or a higher tier plan, or they're going to reduce what you can get on the free plans. Because I feel like it's kind of in that like Facebook era, TikTok era, where they would like pay people to be on their platform or like recommend to their friend. And then once they get you, they like make it so much shittier. So I think we might see that. But I also think that voice commerce, and again, specifically for e-commerce, like visual search, people taking screenshots of things they see on TikTok, or people, I've taken pictures of things people are wearing on the street, and I will upload that into an image search into like a shop that I shop as that has a large SKU number. So I think that's kind of what we're going to see in the next 6 to 12 months. So
fascinating. Loving those. Okay, Jamila, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to get in touch?
Yes. So if you want more of a personal, what I'm doing in marketing, jamilajen.com is where I kind of live. I'm also on LinkedIn at Jamila Jen. And then if you're looking for marketing strategy, marketing automation services, then it's marketuraconsulting.com. So that's where I am. But you can find me on Jamila Jen on LinkedIn. That's usually where I'm active. You can add me, send me a DM, and I'd be happy to send you any resources or let you know kind of what you can do to automate.
Awesome. Jamila, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's always great to catch up with you, especially when we're talking about a topic like this. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I always love being here, and I love providing value where I can.
Oh, doesn't that just make you want to go and look at your time reports and find something else to automate? I know it does me, and I am quite heavily distracted by the idea of going and checking out make.com, A-M-A-K-E.com, because that sounds right up my street. So you can get the notes from all those bits that we discussed at keepoptimizing.com, plus the links and all those, that other good stuff. You can also use our special direct episode short link to go straight to the episode. So that's keepopt.com/the number of this episode. And that will take you straight to the right page of the Keep Optimizing website. And when you get to the website, please do add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to keep on learning about how you can use AI and automation to reduce overwhelm, improve efficiency, and all that good stuff, then please do check out the previous two episodes where we've dived into more AI focused topics. So we've got one episode about chatbots and negotiation, and we've got one episode about product descriptions, which I know is a very hot topic in AI and e-commerce. So go and check out those two. They're the previous two to this. And you can also find our full thread of AI use cases that actually work in e-commerce content by either scrolling up your feed or using the short link keepopt.com/AI. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of their e-commerce marketing. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my four-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.